providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Got my buddy Mickey Fulp on the line. He is known as the Mercenary Geologist. He's got a great website. If you want to find out more about his website and what he writes, et cetera, et cetera, all you have to do is click on his banner and his picture on our homepage. Mick, I want to talk to you a little bit about energy today. You know, I'm looking at futures prices right now, and West Texas, for example, is $101.14. That's down 67 cents. Brent is $112.45. That's up 35 cents. I personally am very, very optimistic on energy issues. In the past year, I have invested in three companies, somewhat substantially, I have to say, because I'm a real believer that energy is one of the critical, I mean, anybody who doesn't believe this is nuts. Energy is an absolutely critical input to society. Let's talk about oil first. Let's get your views on that, okay?
Well, you're absolutely right, Al. Energy is the biggest input we have in the world economy, and it has been that way since the Industrial Revolution, and it's really what drove the Industrial Revolution was oil and the internal combustion engine and electricity. The oil market's basically controlled by two main factors, and that's supply-demand fundamentals, and that has been in balance for most of the last year, and I would expect it to continue. And then the geopolitical situation drives oil, and we see strong oil prices with WTI at 100 and Brent crude trading at a significant premium, and I think that's because of problems in Europe. And then we have this U.S.-driven oil boom. We're down now to 49% of our oil use is imports, and that's 20% down in the last 5 years. So we've got this little mini boom going with shale oil and horizontal wells. So I'm very bullish on the oil business, especially in North America.
You know, I have discussed energy with other folks in the past, and Grant Williams, for example, out of Singapore, thinks that he's very bullish on oil also, and he feels that natural gas is going to tag along. Natural gas futures are up a little bit today. They're up about 6 cents, $3.06 on the futures. What do you think about natural gas?
Well, I'm going to have a completely different take on natural gas. I think it's a completely different story. Especially in North America. We've found too much gas, once again with exploiting shale reservoirs, which we used to only look at as source rocks, but now they're reservoir rocks with horizontal drilling and hydrofrac technology. We've found too much gas in North America, especially in the United States. We don't have the transportation, the storage, nor the processing capability to deal with it where the gas fields are. And I do not see a short, even perhaps a midterm solution to that. Gas hit a high of 492 in June. That's still not very high. And it's trading right around $3 at Henry Hub right now, which is kind of the yeah. mark that everybody mm-hmm. pays attention to. In Europe and Asia, it's quite a different story. We're looking at gas prices in Europe right now from $9 to $12. That has to do with the Russians control most of the gas market. So what we need to do, Al, is find a way to arbitrage gas in Europe versus gas in the United States. The problem is gas is not easily stored or transported.
Well, no, that's true. You know, there are a lot of people of the philosophy that the United States could become energy independent in a much shorter time frame if we utilize natural gas to a greater extent. What do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for quite some time now. In fact, I wrote a couple of articles and did a couple of interviews in early summer on that idea. But yes, we could. But, you know, the problem we have in the United States is we have the NIMBYs and the banana crowds, and they're going to try to stop any infrastructure development. And that has, in my opinion, set the gas business back for some indeterminable amount of time right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would hope that that trend would reverse itself, because energy independence for the United States, for me anyway, is a critical issue. So, you know, because of that, I would hope that that trend would reverse itself. You know, a lot of people continue to badmouth coal. They talk about coal being, you know, it's not clean energy, it's not environmentally sound, it's dangerous to mine, et cetera, et cetera. I completely disagree with that, and we could get into that, but that's not the point of this discussion. What are your thoughts about coal for 2012, Mick?
Well, I actually think those people are right. It's dirty and it's dangerous, and it kills a lot of people every year for one reason or the other, from Chinese miners dying in unsafe mines to people dying or contracting some sort of lung disease from dirty coal. But it's what we've got, and we've made a decision in the United States well over 20 years ago to go with coal, and so we're saddled with that, but it provides us with a significant amount of our energy, especially electricity, but also for space heating purposes. When you're looking at the coal market, you got to look at once again at North America versus Asia, Australia. China dominates in the Eastern Hemisphere. You also have to look at thermal coal, which is used for the aforementioned power generation, space heating applications, and metallurgical coal, which is high-grade coal used in steel making.
Yeah.
I am very bullish on metallurgical coal. We saw all-time export prices from Appalachian coal in the United States. We export a lot of metallurgical coal. I am very bullish on that sector. If you can find a good metallurgical coal company that's undervalued, good luck finding one right now, but that would be a good speculation.
Last but not least, uranium. I also am a big supporter of uranium companies that know what they're doing. I think uranium is the key to the future. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you on that take. The problem, we had a very bullish future for uranium. If you and I would have talked about this last year, and I did talk about it, maybe even with you, I was making the circuit of radio and television and the print media talking about uranium being the next big thing, and it at that time the spot price was going way up again, hit $73 a pound in February. It was quite unusual because at that time it was equal to a long-term contract price of uranium, and that implies very tight supplies, and that was basically driven by traders and speculators in the market. But it's analogous to people that know the futures markets, analogous to a backwardation phenomena that we would see in a world-traded commodity, which uranium isn't, but we all, I think, know about backwardation and contango. And essentially, uranium was in backwardation, but then we got hit by Fukushima. That has changed the worldwide uranium industry forever, I think. And not all of that is bad, because we're going to have even safer nuclear power plants. But what that did, it drove the spot price down immediately to $49 from something around $65 at the time. But then we saw a recovery, and what we have now is a very strong base for uranium spot prices, somewhere in the $52 range. It's gone down to less than $50 a couple of times, but it bounces right off on that. Good mines can make money, ISR mines, open pit heap leach mines at $52, and a long-term contract price is $63. I remain a uranium bull. In fact, day before yesterday, I gave my standard talk to the Albuquerque Geological Society why I remain a uranium bull.
There you have it from Mickey Fulp. That was a good synopsis on energy. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Axel Merck. We're going to talk currencies, and we're going to talk economic dangers.